Well, when you think of a wonderful place that you like to go, stop and think about that. Where are some of your favorite places to be? Maybe it's a beautiful place like Hawaii or the Caribbean. Maybe you like a warm place. Or maybe it's in the mountains. Maybe it's at the Rockies or maybe the Cascades or over in Bend or wherever it is. Where is that place when you go, you just kind of feel, oh, this is great. This is just so wonderful place to be. And maybe it's that favorite vacation spot where you go with your family. You know, I know for me, I have lots of favorite places to go, but quite honestly, one of the reasons is not just the physical place, but who is there with me, right? Now, sometimes it's nice to go and be alone at a place, but it's that place where I'm able to come and to be with those that I'm closest with. But you know, there's an even greater place that each of us can go. And a matter of fact, it's one of those places that we say it is so far away, and yet it is so near. It's one of those paradoxes, right? It's what we're going to be talking about this morning, of coming before the presence of God. When we think about God, two things. We think of, sometimes many people think God is far away. He is in heaven. We don't even know where that is. What is so far away? And yet, as we're going to see this morning, it's also as near and as close as right where we are. God's presence. And both are true. It's a place where we come to the presence of God. And this morning, we're going to look at a word that's not used a lot, but it's an important one. And it's called the throne of grace. God invites us to come before his throne of grace. To come directly into the presence of, think about it, of the living, loving, eternal God. Many of us take that for granted, which is maybe sometimes a good thing, but I think it's good this morning also to stop and think about this idea of coming into the presence of God. So listen just for a moment to Hebrews 4:16. We'll come back to it, but listen to this. It says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We are to approach the throne of grace. And I know for me, sometimes going to that special place, remember the one we were talking about at the beginning? Sometimes going to that special place with God, maybe it's to the beach, since mountains, maybe it's someplace. I know for me, sometimes getting away and being in those places helps me to enjoy God even more. But as we're going to see, God is calling us simply to come, that's me, to his presence, wherever we are at, to come to his throne of grace. Now, the throne of grace is not something we can see, right? I've never seen the throne of grace. Now, again, the throne of grace is not necessarily a physical throne, right? It's ultimately, as we'll see later, is the place where God resides. He is king. He is sovereign. And we come before this king, this God who is in control. But we come before him in confidence. That's one of the awesome things. We can come before him in confidence. It's something that's precious, something amazing that we can experience right here on earth. The privilege to be with and to talk with God. Now, today we're going to be starting this series called Life-Changing Prayer. Matter of fact, as I look, it's a pretty bold title series. Life-changing, you know. Some pastors, they love getting these big titles, you know. This is going to change your life, you know, or whatever. This series is going to do it, and then the next one, this series is going to do it, you know. But I hope that you'll see, even starting today, that individually, as we get to know God better, it does change our life. This is life-changing that we're talking about. You know, I believe it's true. Matter of fact, I've seen it in my life, of life-changing prayer, of spending time with God. Because for me, there is so much to learning and growing and knowing God better. It never ends. And I hope that's true for you as well. For many people, as they come to God, and especially maybe those who didn't grow up going to church, sometimes the first time that people come to God is during a crisis, right? When something really bad happens, we come to God. And that's not a bad thing. But there's so much more to prayer than just crisis prayers, right? Just when things are going, but go, God, help me. It's a great prayer. But it's not the only one. You know, sometimes, though, that's a place that God allows us so that we do come to him. Matter of fact, maybe this weekend that was an opportunity for some people who don't know the Lord. They were actually able to cry out and wonder, okay, God, show me yourself. We want to watch a video here. of a woman, true story, she's going to share a testimony, a woman named Shireen, who realized her need to come before God. So let's take a moment and watch this.
And so I'm bathing the kids, and then all of a sudden, I hear like a knock on the door. So I go to the door, and I look through the peephole, and it was this man behind the door, and he was dressed like a postal man. And he had a package in his hand. And he was like, "Are you Shireen Davis?" And I go, "Yeah." He go, "We have a package for you." And on the top of the package, it said Cerámica, which meant ceramic in Spanish. And my boyfriend was Spanish, so I'm like, "Oh, okay, maybe this is his." I said, "I didn't order anything." So I took the package and I put the package on the table, and then I went to proceed into bathing my children. Now I turn the water back on again, and I'm hearing this banging, but the banging now is like more forceful. And it's like someone's trying to break in now. And so I turn the water off again, I go to the door, and I thought it was the postal man again, so I kind of opened it up a little bit again the way I did. And all of a sudden, all of these cops just came bombarding through my door, guns in my face, and they were like, "Put your hands up, put your hands up." Now my boyfriend comes out, because they go back in there and they get him. And so now he comes out, his hands are up now, and they're like, "Do you have any more drugs in this place, in your apartment?" And I go, "Do we have drugs here?" And I'm kind of afraid, because I don't know what to expect. And so they're going in his bag, they're pulling out all his stuff, and they go, "Ha!" So in the bottom of the bag, they find another key of cocaine. And in the bag was $65,000. So he's standing there. He's not even saying anything. He's not trying to say, "Okay, she had nothing to do with it. She knows nothing about this." But they're looking at me like, "You knew what was going on." And I'm like, "I had no idea." And, you know, I'm sitting there in Central Booking, and everything is happening around me, you know. They told my lawyer what took place, what they found, how the whole event, you know, transpired. And he goes, "Well, so this is what's going to happen. The package came in your name, and that was your apartment. You're looking at 25 years to life." And I was like, "You got to be kidding me. 25 years to life? What's gonna happen to my kids? Who's gonna take care of my girls? But I'm innocent in this. I'm innocent in this, and I'm gonna do 25 years to life? You gotta be kidding me. Is there a way around this? Are you sure? There has to be another way around this." You know, I stood in front of the judge, and she, you know, you look at her doing cases before yours, before your case comes up, and she looked like she was a hard judge. She was like setting the hammer down. And so I was shaking. So now the prosecutor, you know, he gives his version of the story. He made me look like I was this big drug pin, and I had been flinging drugs like all my life. And I'm looking at him and I'm saying to myself, "Is he talking about me?" So he said what he had to say. My defense lawyer said what he had to say. And the judge looked at me, and she was like, she slammed down the gavel. She said, "I'm setting bail at $1 million. It's like, "I'm never going to get out of here. I don't have $1 million. So I go back to my cell. Now I'm back in my cell. The main thing that was on my mind was my girls, my special needs daughter. I'm thinking about this guy, how he didn't exonerate me, how he didn't speak up for me. He didn't say I had nothing to do with it. And I was saying, I'm in this by myself. What happened was, while I was sitting there thinking, I thought about the church that I was going to and the church that my family was going to. And I thought about what came to me was the messages that were saying that Jesus loved me. And I started talking to Jesus. I didn't know how to pray. But I just started pouring out my heart to God.
All the way. You know, the most important thing the Lord desires of each of us, that we seek Him, right? To approach Him even in difficult times as well as good times. One of the most powerful images that I think we can have as we go to God is this idea of the throne of grace. So if you have your Bibles, look at Hebrews 4. 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. And it says this, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's actually been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We see the call, the invitation to approach the throne of grace. You know, when I think of a throne, I think of royalty, right? I think of someone who's in charge. I think of authority or sovereignty. And we see here that it is a place ultimately where we go before a sovereign king, a God who is ultimately overseeing all things. And what it says, we can approach him. We can come before his presence. I've never been before royalty or president or even a congressman, but, you know, even just some other people. I've been around others who had some authority, you know, and looked up to. And it's kind of intimidating, isn't it? If any of you have been around that, someone who has that authority, and even if they're very kind, you're still kind of, okay, I need to kind of, you know, be careful. But it says here we can approach him with what? Confidence. We come before the presence of God. God wants us to approach him, to come to him. We talked about those wonderful places, the place that we think the greatest place we could go, our favorite place that we love to go, and yet I believe that going to the throne of grace is even greater than that. The one who is king, the one who is sovereign over all, but he's also, did you hear what she said? She heard the message that he loves me. Jesus loves me. To come before the one who desires to know us and who actually does know us but wants us to know him, that the Bible says he's even closer than our closest friend. The one who is forgiving, the one who is always there for us, the one that we can approach even in crisis or in any circumstance. That's the God of the Bible. That's Jesus, as we're going to see, because he's a king. He's on a throne. Here's the cool thing. When we come, he has the power to not just hear what we have to say, but he has the power to answer, to do, and to work through our prayers. See, it's no ordinary throne. It's no ordinary, in a sense, king or someone of authority. He is King of Kings. He is God. And so when we approach him, one of the amazing things about coming before him is that we come before him through Jesus, right? We come to a throne of grace because of Jesus. Let me read verses 14 and 15 again. We're going to read this passage a couple times, but I want you to listen each time, maybe get something new. It says this, "Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who's been tempted in every way, just like we are, and yet was without sin." The reason you and I can go before the throne of God, go before this all-powerful king, is because of grace. It's because of Jesus, right? Remember Shireen in the video, she prayed, and she was reminded of Jesus' love, and she came. She was taught, even, I don't know how long she was going to that church, or even if she was a believer, but she was taught to come through Jesus. And she prayed to Jesus. And we read here that he is our great high priest. We're going to talk about this high priest in a minute, but sometimes we miss out just on little words. You see what kind of high priest he is? What kind of high priest is he? A great one. Matter of fact, not just a great one, the greatest. That's what I mean, the great. In other words, he is numero uno. He is the one. In the highest position. Don't overlook that one. He is superior to all the other priests, all the other high priests that have ever come. You see, during Jesus' time, there was only one high priest in the Jewish faith, and he was at the temple. There were a lot of different priests, but one high priest who was ultimately there, and his job was ultimately to bring a sacrifice every year, atonement, a sacrifice of atonement, into what we call the Holy of Holies. A lot of you know this, some of you don't. But in the temple, there was different sections. And there was one section that no one could go into. except for the high priest once a year. It's called the Holy of Holies. And he was to go into the presence of God. And he could have, in a sense, direct access to God. And he brought this sacrifice for sin on behalf of the people, and basically to allow them to continue their relationship with God. And the people, they would also bring sacrifices, right, during Passover. And they would remember God and what he had done. But ultimately, that one would come every year. But Jesus is the great high priest, right? See, Jesus didn't just bring a sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. Jesus, as our great high priest, brought the supreme sacrifice in offering himself on behalf of his people. And he did it once. Once for all, God in the flesh. He made a way for us to come before the throne of God. And he made it a throne of what? A throne of grace. Let me hear you. It's an easy word. It's a throne of
grace.
Yes. Jesus made it a throne of grace by dying on the cross for our forgiveness and allowing us to come before God anytime we want. Looking at the author, you want to turn a couple chapters to Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 23. He describes this event. He describes Jesus as this high priest and the sacrifice. Hebrews 10, 19 to 23 says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence," there's that word again, "since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Why can we go before God? Because of Jesus. We can approach God because we are cleansed, right? It uses some interesting things. They're sprinkled to cleanse us, washed in pure water. These pictures of being clean and forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. This great high priest, Jesus, gave up his life so that we could come before him. You know, we often share here the first step to knowing God is receiving Christ, right? That's the first step to really knowing God, is receiving his forgiveness, accepting what he did on the cross, asking for his forgiveness and his grace, saying, "God, take charge of my life." As we sung earlier, you know, no turning back. I'm following you. That's the prayer. That's really the first prayer God wants us to have. It's not always the first prayer, but it's the one that begins that relationship, right? Begins that personal relationship. That's how we approach the throne of grace, always through Jesus, remembering what he's done for us. But as we think about Jesus, here's something else. One of the things that really gives me confidence to go before God in prayer, and that is this, is that Jesus relates to us. Jesus can relate to us. Hebrews 4:15, we read earlier, "For we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but rather we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin." You see, Jesus knows what we're going through because he went through it. Isn't that amazing? God came a man for a number of reasons. One of them is to say, you know what? I'm here with you. I'm here for you. His experience matches ours in many ways. He faced the same seduction and temptation of sin. He faced direct temptation from Satan, right? In the desert. And then also we see a deep, difficult, one of the most difficult temptations of all time was when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what was part of his prayer? He said, "If there's any way to take this cup from me, Lord, do it." Of course, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." He was tempted as we are, yet without sin. He understands what you're going through. So when you're going through something difficult, you can ask God to help. You can ask Jesus to help you, give you wisdom, help you through that, because he knows how to do it. We come before a throne of grace because he understands and sympathizes with our struggles. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Many of the things that we go through in this life, he went through, right? Stop and think about this. Jesus faced thirst and hunger. He faced weariness. He faced desertion of friends. You ever been deserted by a friend? some of you thought was there for you and they turned their back on you? Have you ever faced disappointments? Jesus faced quite a few disappointments. How about mocking? Many of us maybe have never been mocked. Jesus was mocked. He was falsely accused of a crime. He was pronounced guilty and even killed. He was innocent. You think he understood what Shireen was going through? Yeah, he'd gone through the same thing. He understands what you're going through. And he wants you to come to him in prayer about it. He wants you to bring it to him. He's not afraid of our anger. He's not afraid of our hurt. He's not afraid of our praise. He wants us to bring our needs, our hurts, our brokenness, bring our joys, our thanksgivings, our prayers. You know, when good things happen, let's remember who is the giver of those good things. Wherever and whatever. Whatever and wherever you are, what you have, God wants to hear from you. It's because of who he is, right? He is our great high priest, our Savior. And he's the one that brings us into the presence of God. Let me read one more time, Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, gone to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. See, Jesus, unlike any of the other high priests, the high priests, they would go into the Holy of Holies, which is kind of the place where they said, well, this is God, you know, kind of the presence of God. Where did Jesus go? Jesus went to heaven. He went straight to God his Father, to the Father. He said, there is no disconnect. I go straight to the Father because we are one. Jesus, he went before, he didn't have to go to the temple, he went to the presence of God, to heaven itself. And that's why we can approach God with confidence as Christians. Our confidence rests in Jesus. We don't have to be tentative in going before him. Because he knows. He has a deep sympathy, an understanding of what we need. And so you can come before him when you feel like you're a victim. You can come before him when you're worried. We're going to talk about that next week. You can come before him when you get depressed or when you have a need or when you want to pray for others or when you have a thanksgiving, something that you're so thankful for, an encouragement or blessing, to come before him and say, thank you. Thank you. We can approach because it's a throne of grace. I hope that you get that. That'll be something that you'll think throughout this week, a throne of grace. You know, I remember a number of times recently, there's been a lot of times, but in the last couple years where God was just, I just sensed God's special presence. Sometimes that happens. Happened a couple times. There were one time when I was on sabbatical. And I was, two times, I remember, I was riding my bike one time and listened to this particular song. And that song is going to be, it's kind of one of those markers, you know, you put in your life. And every time I hear that, it reminds me, I said, Lord, I want to continue to follow and serve you. And then another time was, it was the day or day after, and I was at the beach. And there was a fire that was there. I didn't even build it. There was just a fire there for me. And I remember spending time with God. And it was, for me, it was kind of, it was my, not my burning bush, but it was my burning fire experience. Where I just sense God's presence. I remember when I was in college, one of the first times, a brand new Christian, I mean, you know, I've been a Christian a couple years, and I remember I was wanting to go to this missions conference, and Mel was it, and Mel was going, and I was like, I really want to go to this. I have a passion for missions, for God, but I had no money. You know, I couldn't even pay for college, let alone going to this conference. And so I pretty much, I prayed though, and actually I had somebody else pray. I had a couple other people praying, and I went home for Christmas. Actually, it was right before Christmas, and I got this envelope, this letter in the mail with the exact amount of money, the exact amount of money that I needed to go to this conference. And I found out who gave it to me, and they didn't know anything about my conference. They just said, the Lord put in our heart to give you some money, that we felt God was telling us to give you this amount of money so that you can do with it what you want. God does that for us sometimes. He answers our prayers that way. He shows us that grace. But you know, for me, and for many of you, I just have go week by week where I have a discipline, I guess you might say, a desire and discipline where I just spend time with God in the morning and just talk to him. And the most times, I don't, it's like, this doesn't feel like the throne of God. You know, it just feels like I'm sitting here talking to the air, you know, sometimes. You ever feel that? But as I do that, every time I go before God, even though I don't always feel like it, God speaks to me in small ways. Not in the big ways like some of those other things, just in small ways. I pray and approach him, and I come with confidence because I know he loves me. And I know that he hears me. And I know that he wants that relationship with me. And it's because of his grace that I can do that. We can approach the throne of God with confidence. But you know, as we do that, we also need to kind of prepare our hearts. We need to prepare our heart in kind of some ways to be ready before God, you know? The first way is just, first of all, always look at your heart and your life. I mean, if there's sin in our life, God wants us to get it right with him, right? It's just like with our spouse, right, or a friend. If we somehow have something between us, it's hard to really have a good conversation. You know, all of you who are married, you know about that, right? Or if you have kids or parents, you know, you get in an argument or something, or you do something, you have to make it right. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, God's faithful, and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. But another thing, first of all, it's with God, but part of our relationship with God has to do with each other, doesn't it? See, we're family. And if we've offended somebody, we're supposed to go and seek reconciliation. If you've hurt someone, you're called to make it right to the best you can. Jesus said this, Matthew 5, 23 and 24, therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar, in other words, if you're coming before me and worshiping me, and you remember a brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother or sister. Then come and offer your gift. And then he says something else. Basically, he's saying, you know, if you have a grudge against somebody, maybe somebody's done something that's hurt your feelings, and you're kind of holding the grudge or bitterness, Jesus says, and when you stand to pray, if you hold something against a brother or sister, forgive it, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your trespasses as well. It's all about relationship, isn't it? Relationship with God, relationship with each other. It's important. And therefore, so are relationships with each other. All those relate. Matter of fact, I can't remember if it's in one of the Peters, where it basically says to husbands, say, if you don't have a good relationship with your wife, I'm not going to listen to your prayers. Do you know that, husbands? And I think it applies to wives too, but obviously at that time it was kind of geared toward the guys. But our relationship with each other relates directly to God. God wants us to be able to approach him with confidence. One last way that really helps us to go before God, and that is prayer is not just about talking to God. A lot of us, that's mostly our prayer life, is we just talk to God. We tell God what we want, right? But it's both ways, right? Listening is part of prayer as well. And so one of the greatest ways for me and for all of us to listen is through God's word. We're called to go and to read, to study, to meditate, to think about God's word to us. I know for me, that's what I usually do before I go to prayer. I read some of God's word, or I read one of my devotional books that I have. It points me toward God. And God speaks to me first and points out something. It kind of helps me know how to pray sometimes. I mean, I'm not sure what to pray in this theme, you know, okay, forgiveness, okay, I'll pray for my forgiveness, or that, who do I need to forgive, but also pray that our church would be a forgiving church. So God's word speaks to us. Obviously, the Holy Spirit speaks to us as well. But prepare yourself to go to God through his word, and it can guide you. Here's the amazing thing. God is waiting for you. Don't just pray because the pastor says so, right? Or because you think you're supposed to, but because God wants a relationship with you. He hears you, and he'll work through your prayers. Let's hear a little bit more of the story from Shireen. I'll take a moment. Let's watch her story.
And I just started pouring out my heart to God. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry for disappointing you, but I need your help because I'm in a mess and I don't know how to get myself out of it. I remember back when I was in church, they said that you loved me, and for right now, you're the only person that I could talk to. now it's time to go back in front of the judge. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And so I stood in front of the judge, same judge. I had my hands behind my back. And I looked up at her. And she looked at me differently. And I didn't understand why, but she looked at me differently. And it was just like her demeanor got a little bit more tender towards me. And her eyes got a little more softer towards me. The prosecutor again, he said what he had to say. And my lawyer said what he had to say. And I just looked at her like this. And I remember her sitting up in her chair. And she leaned over to the desk. And she said, "I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to let you out on your own recognizance today." And it's at that time, right when she said that, that I knew God heard me. And I knew God was listening to me. And I knew that God has, he gave me so much mercy. At that time, I knew that I was speaking to a God that was living, and he was listening to me. And so I got out of prison that day. And that was only the mercy of God. That was only the mercy of God. And I am so thankful and so grateful that he extended that mercy towards me, because I had nowhere else to turn but to Jesus. And that's what I did.
Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When we come to the throne of grace, we receive his mercy and his grace. We need mercy, don't we? We need mercy because we fail. We fail much. We mess up. We sin. We need mercy for our past failures. We need mercy for our future failures. And we can come before God. His mercy is that forgiveness, right? That forgiveness of sin. That compassion to receive his forgiveness and mercy. But we also receive his grace. And they're very closely connected. But that's why it's called a throne of grace. God is there for us in our time of need, just as he was for Shireen. Grace is God's what, undeserved love, his undeserved favor, his grace in our time of need. He's there to guide us wherever we're at, whatever circumstances we may be in. We all have needs, right? We have material needs. We have physical needs, you know. We have emotional and relational needs, and kind of all around that, we have spiritual needs. That God wants us to bring all that, whatever those things are. He wants us to come before him. As we see in Hebrews, the grace and mercy of God is ultimately through Jesus, our great high priest. And prayer is that relationship of being able to know him, be able to receive his grace and mercy. To know that, if we don't pray, we're not going to know that God's answered our prayers. And God, we say, well, doesn't God know everything? Yes. But he wants us to bring it to him. Why? Ultimately for our benefit, so that we know God better, and so that when he answers in whatever way, we know it is from him. Or say, oh, that what a coincidence. I got that $300 or whatever it was for my, wow, that's a coincidence. Wow, that's cool. No, not a coincidence. It's a grace and mercy of God. God has a plan for our lives if we seek him. Let's watch the last short part of Shireen's story.
My favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. And God says in his word, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." And he said, "It's a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan to give you hope and a future." And that scripture helps me because when I didn't have a plan for my life, and when I didn't have any hope, and when everything around me seemed like it was harming me, God reminds me that he has a great plan for my life. And it is not to harm me, but it is to prosper. He's just been so faithful in my life. He's given me tremendous blessings.
Powerful story. What story is God writing in your life? How's your relationship with the great high priest growing? Is it growing? Remember that he knows what you're going through, and he can help you through those temptations, right? He can help you in your weaknesses. He can help us through life because he's gone through that. And because he loves us. And we can approach his throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. I hope that you can see that this morning. That you will not only desire, first of all, to come before God, but you'll have that confidence. When you come before him, he hears you. And he wants to use your prayers. So as we close the service, we're not going to close with a song, but we're going to close with prayer. For you, give you an opportunity. What is something today, this week, that you want to come before God's throne for? Maybe some of you put it on paper, which is great. But maybe there's just something on your heart that you want to just take a few moments here and come before the throne of grace and talk to him. Maybe it's to thank him. Maybe God's been good to you in some ways. And just, you know what? It's good to thank God, to praise him. Maybe it's to ask him to help you in a difficult time you're going through. Or maybe you've been facing a temptation to kind of do something, you know, it's not, God doesn't really want you to do, but you think, I don't know, I think it's best, but maybe you need to pray and say, God, is that something I really should be doing? Or maybe you just want to pray for someone else. Maybe you know some people that you just want to take a moment to pray for. So let's take a moment, let's take some time and just allow you to quiet yourself and come before the throne of grace. Just talk to God and then I'll close this in a few moments. Just how you love us, and we're amazed at how you use us in many ways. Amazed at your grace. Lord, thank you that you hear us. And I pray for this church. Pray for not just those who are here, but those who aren't. But Lord, help us who've heard this message to desire, to take the time, because it's a busy life. We have all kinds of things. But Lord, help us to take some time to just come before you, to listen, to talk, and to know that we come before you, wow, just all that you did, Jesus, for us, that we could come with confidence before your throne of grace. So Lord, help us to go and be your church. Lord, as we've kind of, in the last 2 weeks, last week we got out and we put our hands to work to serve others. May we continue to do that. But Lord, this week may we go and instead of being busy, may we take some time to be quiet and to, as well, pray for our community and pray for those that need to know you and pray for our church. Most importantly, just to grow in our relationship with you. So, Lord, touch each person's heart as only you can.